This is Allie Marshall. I'm speaking with Jared Tankle, who plays baritone saxophone for the Budos Band. The Budos were last in Asheville in 2009 for Harvest Records' Transfigurations Festival. The band returns to the Grey Eagle on Wednesday, February 23rd. Song clips heard here are Unbroken Unshaven and Budos Dirge off of the Budos Band 3.
We feel pretty open to like taking turns and whatever with the music that we write and play, and you know, certainly it was sort of grounded in the funk and soul influence and everything, but at this point, you know, it went from Afrobeat and funk and soul, and then we sort of discovered the Ethiopian jazz, and it sort of took that turn, and now the more rock and even metal influences that some of the guys have in the band, although they're not like really out front and whatever, they're more sort of subtle influences. You know, they're there and there too, and so I think for us, it's, you know, we'll sort of follow the path where it takes us, and we don't feel like we have to be like a soul band, you know, like at this point, especially in our live shows. I think it's more like a rock show than like a soul review or something like that, you know. So we're kind of like we're definitely into following the road wherever it sort of takes us down, whatever genre influences or even like you know periods in music, whether it be 50s, 60s, 70s. I mean, we're not big 80s guys, I guess you would say. But you know, we're not solely focused on like, you know, 1968 Motown or something like that. Even though that is, you know, one of our influences, we'll take it elsewhere too.
Do you feel at all nostalgic for past eras of music, or like even for the like just the aesthetic or the technology from those times?
Sure. I mean, well, we record on analog equipment and tapes and all that, so we don't, you know, we definitely employ older technologies as opposed to doing anything digital based. So you know, in that respect, for sure. And I think, you know, yeah, we listen to some contemporary bands and stuff, but we also definitely revere, you know, the music of the 60s and 70s, sort of usually above all else. But we definitely have, you know, I guess it's a nostalgia, or just, you know, like a pretty deep appreciation for what was happening then. And especially that a lot of that stuff was, you know, what was popular during that time. That was sort of, in a sense, the pop music of the day. And that isn't the case now, which is fine, but it's just sort of, you know, it's interesting to think about, like, what the state of music at that point versus what it is now with, I don't know, certain pop acts that certainly don't have the same outlook on things as we do.
Talking about not being concerned with being involved with the like Brooklyn indie scene, and I just wondered, I mean, I know that the music scene in New York is pretty far-reaching and, like, there's all different options. But does that kind of, like, shut you out of anything since there's so much focus on all that right now? Or do you care?
Yeah, I guess I'm not sure that we care as much as just, you know, we play in Brooklyn often, and so it's not as much of that. I think, you know, like, some we've gotten, like, interest from larger indie artists for collaborations, I guess, and it's sort of not, and we've never done them, and I think it's partially just because we're not, you know, some of the guys in the band like some indie rock stuff that's coming out these days, but I think generally it's not, like, it's definitely not the flavor of the band that as a whole we really like as much as other stuff. And so, you know, we're not going to do a collaboration with somebody just because it's going to, like, you know, end up being a big story on Pitchfork or something like that. You know, it's like, that's definitely not our motivation. And I think the fact that, you know, I think the fact that we are in Staten Island, like, even though that's not, like, that far away, I still think that's that small separation, and the fact that our studio's out there, and we kind of, I don't know, just sort of were able to do our own thing a little bit more and not, like, feel this pressure to become part of some scene that I don't think we'd be really comfortable being a part of, you know. So after our drummer, you know, found these Desco records, and then the guys were sort of discovered the scene that was happening in New York at that time. A lot of the guys started going out to some of the shows that were happening, the early shows in New York from bands like Antibolus, and then also Sugarman 3 and some of the other early Daptone and Desco acts, and so, you know, finding that inspiration, just started playing a lot of music and submitting, you know, handing over some rehearsal tapes and demos and stuff to the guys in Antibolus and Desco at Desco, and just sort of, you know, there was a certain amount of persistence there, I guess, but yeah. Then it was, I guess, let's see, but before the Budos were released on Daptone, there was this other band that put out 45 on Daptone called the Funky Bullets, Dirt Rifle and the Funky Bullets, and they, the rhythm section of that band is the rhythm section of the Budos, so they're, and you know, that stuff was very, very much just straight up sort of funk, you know, not Afrobeat, not soul, just straight up funk. And so that came out of the 45, and then the Budos were starting to do their thing, and I don't know, I guess it just sort of happened. Our guitar player, Tom Brennick, at that point started playing guitar with the Dap Kings as well, and so that certainly paved the way a little bit to get in there and record a Daptone and put it out and everything. But, you know, I don't know. I think it was just some lucky circumstance in some way, and just sort of hanging out enough and being part of, you know, starting to be the regulars at some of the gigs. And you know, because Daptone's very sort of family-oriented, you know, like on a certain level. Like, it's a fairly small, I mean, it's a big group of musicians, but in one way, like, there are a lot of individuals that comprise the stable of musicians that are there, but in the other way, it's sort of like a small, tight-knit group of folks that, you know, that like hanging out together, that like spending time together. And so, you know, that had a lot to do with it, too, just kind of becoming part of that group of folks that were hanging out and going to the different shows and stuff like that.
Yeah. I heard you all in the closing credits to that movie, New York, I Love You.
And, yeah.
How did that, I mean, that was awesome. How did it happen?
You know, I don't know. I mean, it's one of those placements that just sort of happens. I mean, we have, between Daptone and our own publishing, all the writers, they're publishing, administrator who solicits our music and stuff, you know, it gets out there, and a music supervisor on a film hears it, and that sort of just happens. I mean, we didn't aim to have that placement specifically, I don't think, and it wasn't, you know, but yeah, I mean, that, you know, that and some other like TV shows and stuff, it just sort of, you get a call about it, and great, you know, sounds good.
Yeah.
How much are you paying?
So you don't really have any sort of objection to that kind of thing?
I mean, not overall. I think we've had some situations where we've declined certain placements just because they've been for shows that just didn't, I don't know, they didn't seem that great. You know, and so we have said no sometimes, but you know, a lot of times it's most of the time, I guess it's a good opportunity for us.